And welcome to this week's episode of the Struggle Cast. I'm Barry, and here's what we're going to do. This week, it's brought to you by the letter U. So let's get weird with it. Ukraine, unions, UFOs, who knows? It's all kinds of craziness. So first things, let's get into the Ukraine situation. Or let's don't even talk about that. Let's talk about Eastern European ground wars. That way the algorithm will let us have this discussion, possibly. Because what I'm going to say is more of a hot take that may not necessarily be the normal take that we're getting right now. So let's start there. And to start there, we have to go back to a different time, a different era. Gen Xers rejoice. An era of flannel. The first era of hope and the beginning of incrementalism and mealy mouth from one side, the left side. So, anyway, so the Clinton era. And for the younger folks that don't remember, the Soviet Union had just collapsed. You know, we're looking at 92, 93, 94. And the Ukraine part of the collapse and then their eventual government had more nukes than just about any other country on Earth. And so a deal was struck between first with Gorbachev and Clinton and then eventually Yeltsin to where they would give up all their nukes and demilitarize and, you know, denuclearize, and that there were going to be certain provisions given. And it's basically called the Budapest Memorandum, I believe, or something like that. Anyway, so the deal was they would give up the big boom booms and the pew pews, and there would be some assurances that the weapons of the West and of the East at the time, Russia, would never be used against them. That was an agreed upon thing. And the expansion of NATO was a no-no. So anyway, beginning then, there was kind of an agreement which now the argument seems to be that that was more of a political agreement and not legally binding. But it basically is that they would, you know, demilitarize, de-pew-pew-pew, boom-boom, they'd get rid of all that stuff, trying to avoid the algorithms. And that would be those assurances that they wouldn't be attacked, but basically in the diplomacy at the time was there would basically be kind of almost like buffer states between NATO, UN, and buffer, say, between NATO countries and what was Russia. Well, that didn't really last that long, and there were more and more, way more and more of countries surrounding Russia that became NATO members. And even closer in, some of those, you know, had weapons and, you know, a lot of military strategic value. Well, so what gets us going is flash forward to 2014. And really, most likely, and this is the caveat, most likely, because I don't know, probably, my young son might know someday in his life, if they even care. But it probably likely happened a little before 2014, because that 2014 culminated in the breakup, pretty much, depending on where you're looking at it geopolitically, of Ukraine in 2014, which I'm just trying to put these things in context before we get to the present day, right? So, there was a movement in, populist movement in the Big U leading up to 2014, and culminated in what is known as the Revolution of Dignity, or the Maiden Revolution, and it began in officially in February of 2014. So, I almost lost my notes. So, what's important about that is this is what led up to it. There had been a lot of the disputed territories that are still disputed today that I don't really want to mention, but we all know what they are, were already very entrenched in large portions of the geography of the place, had been historically and somewhat, I say culturally at least, traditionally Russian. And so you had this populist movement, particularly in the West, western part of the nation, and around the centers of power, where a wellspring of revolution popped up and wanting to be, I guess, less reliant, less engaged with the Big R to the east, which caused a problem, right? Because you're talking about, at this point, several generations of at least influence, center of power, shared everything else. So, and of course, the devil himself, the Big Poot, right, is using some of this as propaganda. Now, I'm only bringing up this context because, I mean, it is important, you know, when we look at history, and especially coming off a pretty serious and very expensive in blood and treasure campaigns in, like, say, Afghanistan for 20 years, that was billions and billions of dollars in the lives. And, you know, all that comes with that, a lot of people forget, it's not just the life. You know, one death takes away potentially brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers. I mean, those are scars that those people carry forever, much less the life lost. So, you know, salute, and let's don't forget about that. However, I'm really skeptical. I'm very pessimistic when it comes to the complex and how things work and how much money's involved and what people won't do or will do for power and treasure, right? So, we just got out of a, what was it, like $20 million a day or something ridiculous like that situation, and now we're back into one that seems like an endless blank check for the establishment and for weapons makers. So the complex seems to be the only one winning in this. The reason I bring up all these things is, you know, I am in no way condoning the illegal and unprovoked hostile aggression by the Big R into the Big U, right? So I don't want that to be mischaracterized. I'm just trying to look at this clinically and journalistically from like, okay, well, why did any of this happen? I mean, there's got to be more than just a 2-minute soundbite, right, on the nightly news, which, you know, who knows, you know, where they're at when it comes to who profits, who's paying, and whatnot. You know, you gotta remember forever, was it NBC that was owned by GE, and GE being, you know, they brought good things to light, you know. They also made weapons. So, but, okay, to bring that to where we're at now. So, the caveat, again, I'm not condoning or showing support for in any way the invasion by the Big R. I'm just trying to figure out how we got to that point, because again, it's not like anyone, including old Poot Poot, woke up and went, oh, well, let's just do this. So that's just not logical. And come on, I mean, dude's evil and all that. Listen, he's not insane by any stretch. Like, you know, people are trying to make him out like Lex Luthor or something. This dude ran an intelligence agency forever. And yeah, yeah. So there's always going to be a means to an end and an end in what they want. So just like anything. So what causes this, and how does that knowledge help any kind of understanding moving forward? So I brought all that up just to kind of set the stage and where we get the current leader of the Big U. And you can't make this up. It was a comedian that literally played a comedian that became the president of a nation. And so there's a lot of weird in this, and I understand how our State Department, which is, we'll get to the failures of that. And you know what? Maybe this is a good transition. The failures, in my opinion, of diplomacy and the State Department being involved in nation building and liberation, because, you know, we will liberate the fuck out of you if we're not careful, and depending on the interest involved, right? Historically, not accusing anyone now. I'm just saying, in settled science, history, and declassification, we know what some of those projects and things have been. So now we're going to get to the failures of the State Department. Now, we've been this current situation has been ongoing now for months. Endless amounts of money and weaponry have been thrown at it. I don't think any sane person sees this being a quick thing, a done thing, an easy thing. And now we're moving into the more serious parts of this, to where, you know, we're getting towards atomic areas, you know what I mean? And, you know, there is no such thing as a tactical or a strategic atomic thingy. Atomic thingies are atomic thingies. They blow up, right? That puts the world in a place it hasn't been since, you know, 1945. So, and definitely we're in a situation shadowing kind of, you know, the Bay of, you know, the Cuban Missile Crisis right now. You know, we've got definitely got a pissing contest going on of resolve, will, and industrialization, particularly military, right? So, right now, the failure of the State Department is 100%, in my opinion. This is the first time there's a ground war happening in Europe. There are no peace talks that I know of, any negotiations, no summits, no diplomacy on any level, and most of the reporting coming out that regard any of those things are reports in the negative about how possibly our State Department and other state departments that are allies are undermining that process. So why? I mean, I don't, you know, then it gets into the here and the now of what it is and the realities and the situations which come with the implications of what's going on. There's got to be some sort of compromise somewhere. There's got to be some level of level-headed common sense that takes over. That's just not hyperbole. And it just seems like all of this plays into the hands of the powerful elite and the military elite who are running stuff, you know, and the rest of us are along for the ride. So that's a, you know, a very bothersome thing. You know, there's horrible misinformation out there, and I'm not trying to give it any credence, but when you look into this, there are those that do believe that the events in 2014, etc., were sped up, influenced by, or outright perpetrated by state actors, and, you know, that remains to be seen. I don't believe that. I think there's already enough, it seems, bad faith going on. And again, these are independent nations that, you know, it leads to the question that I think a lot of people, probably especially in Europe and around the world, have had for a long time is, you know, our sphere of influence, sometimes I think that it's so large that we forget that I guess it's catch 22, you know, when you're trying to balance so many things for so many agendas, right? It just would be nice, it would think, you know, especially from a progressive point of view and, you know, the working class point of view, there's not even a party attached to this. This is not good potentially for working people. Working people end up fighting wars. And just wars are damn well worth fighting, you know. But not all war is just, right? And especially when you do the math of, okay, what does this have to do with, you know, middle, wherever you are, random America, or random nowhere Europe, because this situation could potentially drag a lot of nations into conflict for a lot of reasons, and that gets a lot. That's a lot to chew. So let's all just hope for it, but keep your mind open and try not to be so open to and you know, following the didactic, like, this is this kind, and this is this such and such, this is the big poots, you, and other. There's a lot of nuance in this, you know. Remember where we're at, and most of the reporting that you're going to get, unless you go look for it, is geared a certain way. Don't be childish and naive to think that you aren't being fed a filtered version of what's going on for reasons usually given up to national security or just plain self-censorship for access alone. Again, you know, it's hard enough to get the powerful on record, so, you know, that in itself becomes a whole other problem. So let's get to a different you, because this is going to run long if we don't, and I definitely don't want all this to be too big of a deal. So let's talk UFOs. Things have been so weird in the UFO world, and you couldn't even talk about it forever, right? So now the DOD and the Navy are like, oh yeah, it's no big deal, right? And what I find fascinating, beyond that whole subject, which we could do maybe we'll get into a whole episode about this at some point. I hate to be the crazy guy here, but there's so much weird there's just okay since, and it's kind of strange, it was right before the big P got really going with the vids in 2020, there were announcements, and it started with, let's just get to the beginning, like, say the Podesta emails, which was to bring to current, post on WikiLeaks, which there's still problems with, and Julian Assange is still being treated like a criminal, and as not a hacker, it's not true, never. He was a publisher. He's in essence a journalist. Do I agree with everything and all the? No. But this is a principal matter. You go after this dude, and you pretty much make sure that all investigative journalism and publishing is kind of null and void, because now it can be prosecuted. It runs antithesis and counter to our First Amendment, but that's a whole nother episode as well, and I don't want to jump into that too much, but only to say that within the Podesta emails were some crazy emails exposing the ATIP program, which showed that the government not only found some validity to the things that were in the unexplained, that were flying through the air and being observed, that they spent quite a bit of money investigating it, which that's new, right? So they do this, and all kinds of craziness involved in these emails, and we'll get back to those in a minute. Well, no, we'll get to that now, right? Because just yesterday, I think it was, I saw a thing in my feed. It's like, Blink-182 is having a reunion show with Tom DeLonge, which I think is, that's rad. You know, not my favorite band in the world, but not a bad band. And Tom DeLonge is interesting. I've been watching dude for a minute. I saw dude on Rogan like several years ago, right when, before the Big P happened and the vids. And he was saying some wild shit. And turns out, to tie that to the Podestas, it was how he found out about he was involved in any of this was in the Podesta emails. Dude has a thing, a website called To the Stars Academy, which is like all these former like intelligence officials and NASA officials and space officials. And it's wild, right? So, and he was saying all these years ago that they had material and trying to explain basically what a little bit of almost like fusion, propulsion, and anti-gravity, which for all of you, just a quick rundown, there's a big theory that seems to be gaining in more and more traction that, you know, the idea about, like, say, you have a thing here and a thing here. The easiest way to get there is just fold them together, right? Like, so if space were and time, and you could manipulate them, you could just make two points meet anywhere. Or, say you could manipulate gravity, you wouldn't need, like, propulsion, because you wouldn't need to fly anywhere. You would just almost warp space kind of and fall through it, like, sounds crazy. Now, I only say that because he had brought things up kind of like that. And then the United States Navy makes these patents. They patent a, let's see what it's called, plasma compression fusion device. And that patent was 2019. It generates like gigawatt to terawatt range, which is you're talking about like a pretty good sized nuclear reactor level of energy being produced with that. But not only that, they applied for a patent on a craft using inertial mass reduction, which is basically, quote unquote, an anti-gravity device. It's very strange. And they have several of them. Y'all go look this stuff up. So then that brings about a lot of questions. Are all the reported sightings something that people have been seeing for a long time? Because, you know, obviously for them to get to a patent level, they would have to have at least some proof of concept, right? I would think. I don't know how all that works. I'm just freestyling here. But that's been really kind of the uptick is, you know, including, if you ever get a chance, with a grain of salt too, because I don't know, I'm so wary and fearful of propaganda, but the documentary, The Phenomenon, or you call it documentary, whatever you want, it's actually fascinating. It tells some great accounts in there, and it's quite compelling, you know. But this stuff is just bananas because it seems... Okay, so one of two things, right? Well, maybe one of three things. This is a real phenomena that is happening. These are real. Now, is it dimensional? Is it interstellar? Whatever. But first is getting to the step that it's real. Or is it some advanced technology that we just don't know about? Oculus Razor, I would want to lean towards the most likely being an advanced military technology that we're probably way more advanced than we think we are. And we can get to that in a second. So to wrap up the U and the UFO of right now, it's... Well, not to wrap it up, but to keep going. I'm fascinated with the idea and the thought exercise, the intellectual adventure, if you will, of interstellar versus interdimensional travel, and whether that's a possibility, a thing, whatever. But clearly, the government, military people, the complex believe enough to get patents, so... That leads us to another option. Is this just more of, again, we've seen historically, this more just psyop stuff where they're messing with us to an end or another? Who knows, right? Well, people do know, I guess, but who exactly, I guess? Will never be known, or it's not for us. So that leads us to what I was saying about maybe technology is out. Paste our knowledge of it. Let's look up some things real quick. I know I was going to see if I can bring this up. There's some craziness. Like, I Googled, and I'll try to show this on the screen. Just basic, like, energy weapons, U.S. military. And you see some amazing things. It says the Army's outfitting Stryker combat vehicles with 50 kilowatt lasers for short range air defense. And scaling up laser capabilities with 300 kilowatt laser on heavier trucks is indirect to neutralize drones, cruise missiles, etc. And that was in August of this year. Let's see if they're... Wow. So, they're there. They are now part of the arsenal. And we can just scroll through this. Holy, is that real? Let's look over here in real time. Let's take a look at some of these videos. Holy shit. I'm going to show you guys some of these videos, hopefully right here. You know, this is the part that scares me about technology is, you know, there's a lot of stuff that... It's just mind-boggling. So, we have lasers, and we're blowing up things. So, the way light and energy works, So if you can harness it in any way, which they would have had to have been able to do for a very long time to make them field combat functional, wow. Lasers mixed with like flying and submersible robots, etc., powered by AI. Anyway, it's like there's like a movie in there, I'm positive. But I bring that up just by the nature of how that works. You know, especially the physics behind light and energy. But let's say you had, like, say, a low orbit satellite armed with these energy weapons. Could they not just target? And what I'm getting at is, I think, yes. I think that that's been a thing for a very long time, possibly. Because that brings up another piece of technology that I don't think people understand is... And you can look at all of these things. The Boeing X program, there's X-37s and 37B. It's kind of interesting. You know, these started in 2006. We are now in 2022. And basically, they're space-based vehicles. I don't want to call them fighters or anything like that, but they are able to take off, land, and stay in orbit for a very long time. They've flown 5 completed, and a 6th is in progress as we speak. These are nuts. There's at least 2 X-37Bs going on, and they've remained in almost continuous orbit since then. 06, excuse me. They've spent 7.85 years in space totally, and just in orbit. That's why. It doesn't say it's a part of NASA. And, you know, it brings up the whole idea of Space Force that, and, you know, where did, nobody really even really talks about that anymore. That's kind of nuts, right? When you think about, okay, well, you know, what is that? You know, and it turns out that these planes, spider planes, I don't even really like calling them planes, because I don't, is that what you call a space-based platform? Would it be a space plane? That just sounds corny. Spacecraft, spaceship, you know. I'm sure all the sci-fi people will get in, but it's like nobody even pays attention to this. So my thing is, why would you need this? Defense of our, you know, materiel that's orbiting, you know, satellites, GPS, things like that. And then that would also have to mean that it would have the capabilities of also possibly taking out others in adversarial times, right? So I was looking over at the, you know, what does that mean, you know? And there's just a lot of craziness, you know, when it comes to the Space Force. There's a thing, it's called, I mean, there's railguns, there's Project Thor, there's another one that's called, what was it, the Rod of God, and these are all weapons programs that I believe can reach out and get it. So here's my ice clanging for a moment. So, I mean, technology is clearly beyond where anyone thought we might be, at least in my opinion, because it's just bananas. You know, we've got, spaceships that stay in orbit and lasers and anti-gravitational devices and fusion reactors the size of like a small SUV that can provide more power than most nuclear reactor. It's bananas. And this is all right. But then back to the original you, and you know, let me go because we're all over the map today, but man, no negotiations, no peace. And then I see all the people on the left, you know, the world's gone bananas. I'm seeing a lot of defensive acronyms by people that have literally been harmed by acronyms. And that's the alphabet organizations, if you're curious. And then we're seeing people that are supposed to represent, you know, working class and labor folks, which war is never good for, championing it, helping write checks. The only people I see winning are the complex and the people that feed off of it, especially the people I'm sure that are putting money in their pockets that live within the Beltway, right? So that was this week's Struggle Cast and a little bit of me complaining and whining about some yous, right? So, let me tell you about you. No, I'm joking. So, I hope it didn't get too weird for you, but we can get weirder. It's all good. Let me know if there were any subjects that you want to talk about or hear me or get some hot takes on, give you my perspective. In any of these that we just talked about, we can really get into the weeds on. And you just got to let me know. So, that's this week's Struggle Cast. Like, subscribe, donate, do things, share it, download it, do all those things, man. It helps out the algorithm especially. And I'm just trying to bring forth a little bit of knowledge and a little bit of maybe analysis that's not there somewhere else, or an alternative analysis, because, you know, it's good to see all sides before you make up your mind. Which didn't seem to be a hard sell years ago. So, but anyway, I digress. We're going to move on. So thank you for joining this week, and hopefully we'll see you next week with something more awesome and upbeat. So y'all be good, be nice to each other, and try to help out and do everything. If you get a chance to help somebody, do so. Never hurts to be nice. Y'all be good. This has been the Struggle Cast. Thank you.